But I'm glad you changed your schedule, and we're here, and we're going to enjoy some time in the Word. If you want to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Colossians, we'll start on chapter 1. And looking at another one of these places where the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to this church in Colossae, speaks words of thanksgiving. And basically, we're not going to get so much of his giving thanks, but his example of giving thanks. And we'll look at that again this morning as we've gotten into a series that will lead us into Thanksgiving later this month. And today we want to think about our connection to Him. Last time we talked about our connection to others in the body of Christ. Today we want to talk about how giving thanks can enhance even that. And if you recall, we began with this statement. I would love to, for this to just sort of get implanted into our thinking. It's simply this, that giving thanks can turn any moment into a sacred moment. And how we talked about how God gives us whatever we're recognizing as a blessing. And then we give thanks to Him, take that back to Him in worship, and it closes this loop, this connection between us and Him. Particularly today, we're going to see that particularly personal with Him as we think about our relationship with Him and what He has done indeed for us. So we want to get into that. Probably if you have a mobile phone, you have a contact list or address book on there. And most mobile phones will work this way. If you get a call from someone that's in your list, it'll bring their name up so you know who's calling. What do you do when you get a number that pops up and says unknown number? Or the one I've been getting recently, likely spam. I don't know anyone named likely spam, so I usually just will ignore that and go on. Because we're kind of protective of who we're going to let into our world if it's someone unknown. And, you know, we can always fall back on, well, there's always voicemail. If that's someone important, I'll just call them back. Now, maybe you answer every call on your cell phone. Maybe you're different than I am. Maybe you're more gracious than I am. But the fact of the matter is, that speaks of people that we want to have connection with. Someone that we value because we have a business relationship or we have family, friends, whatever it is. But you know what? If God had a contact list, which He does not need, your name's on it. He welcomes you to step into His presence. He welcomes you to contact Him. And part of the things that we do when we contact Him, when we speak to Him, is we give Him our thanks. We give our recognition and our appreciation to say to Him, Lord, I know that whatever's on our heart and mind, we are getting it from You, and we recognize that. So I want to look at verses 12, 13, and 14 of chapter 1. And this, if you even glance up the page back to verse 9, you see that this is a prayer that he is giving. And it's not our purpose this morning to look at this prayer in depth or to get into all the elements of it. But in verses 12, 13, and 14, he gives thanks. And that's the portion we want to dip into this morning. Let me just read these verses to you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and following. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, I would encourage you to go spend some time reading this entire prayer and this statement. It's powerful. It's deep. But I do want to just zero in on this. And there's six or seven places where he gives thanks, and we're using them as our guide to think about this morning. Now, I just want to take each of those verses and give you three different categories of this connection that we have to him, this connection back to him. And the first category is simply this, that we have a new inheritance, a new inheritance. And let's look at that just a little bit, and then we're going to find some application, how we can now give thanks to him. But he begins with the giving of thanks. I'm saying thank you to God. He interrupts the flow of his letter to say, by the way, in this prayer that I'm recording in written form, I'm giving thanks to God for these things. And it's given to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Qualified us to participate, to be partakers in this inheritance. We all know what an inheritance is. That's something we receive from someone passing from one generation to the other. This last Wednesday, as most of you know, my mother passed away back in December of last year. And I've signed the final paper. My brothers and I all did, and we had to get the papers together and send them into probate. But it was the last paper I had to sign to finish and close that estate, getting all that final. And I couldn't just sign my name. I had to qualify by going to a notary public, signing my name, then watch me do it, show them my ID, put that little stamper on there. Then I was qualified to send this in. Here's the great news. He has qualified us to participate in the distribution of this divine inheritance that all believers participate in. When it comes to our qualifications, stamp of approval has been put on this relationship that we have in Him. So I give thanks to that. I give thanks that we've qualified. Literally, it means to make competent or reach that level. It's what gives us assurance. He says it right there in the text. He has, past tense. By the way, verse 12 is past tense. Verse 13 is past tense. Verse 14 is present tense. Notice how this works out. So already, past tense, through the work of Christ, you're qualified. You're entering into this inheritance. Be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints. Well, what about that inheritance? Well, I can't say everything there is to say about that, but let me just give you enough to whet your appetite and throw your soul. First of all, part of that inheritance is we get to be called in this life the sons of God, the children of God, followers of Christ, His own dear ones. It also tells us that we have this inheritance is for the saints. So we've been brought into this special relationship with them. And now, the word saints sometimes suffers from its use. I saw someone recently, they had a little necklace around their neck and a little image of Saint Christopher on that necklace. And in some circles, he is viewed as the saint that gives you protection when you travel and that sort of thing. And we sometimes use in our minds thinking of saints as this sort of a certain subcategory of a larger whole. That's not how the Bible uses it at all. If you're one of God's children, saved through the blood of Christ, and you come to that through faith, you are a saint. This is not some, you know, you may not have your face on a medal, but God has you in His heart and His mind and in His kingdom. So we're qualified and we become partakers of this inheritance. So it's being that relationship. Also in that inheritance, how about this? You get to live forever. If you get a few dollars from someone's inheritance somewhere in your past or in your future, it's going to be nothing compared to eternal life. We get to live in God's household, His great household. We call it heaven. It's called the New Jerusalem. It's called the house of God. We get to take up housekeeping with God Himself. We get new bodies. The older I get, the better that sounds. New bodies that don't wear out, don't have the afflictions of that we have in this life. That it's going to be a perfect environment. God's going to wipe away the tears from our eyes. There's no death. There's no dying. There's no sorrow. There's only joy in the presence of God. That's your inheritance. So He says, I give thanks for that. And notice He says, of the saints in the light. Now that's going to flop over a little bit into verse 13 in just a moment. But it's the saints in the light, in the brightness, in the glory, in basking in the glory of God. Now, what do we do with that? How do we close this gap of thanksgiving? Well, I just want to suggest to you that as you read the Word of God, that we practice this discipline that Paul is showing for us right here in this text. That as we read the Word of God, as we're seeing what He says to us, that we are also giving thanks to God for the things that we see and believe and know to be true. Even those things that maybe, I mean, I think the concept of the inheritance of the saints in light is bigger than my brain can probably ever comprehend, but I can give thanks to God for it. I don't understand how electricity works, but I'm not going to sit around in the dark until I do. I'm going to just enjoy it, right? So give thanks for these sort of things. So as you're reading the Word of God, just have this practice. Lord, it says right there that You've qualified me to participate in this inheritance. Lord, thank You for that, because that takes that gift from God, the spiritual truth, and then it connects us back to God. Now, I know you've had this experience. I have too, so I'll confess it. You're trying to be a good student of the Word of God, and you're trying to read the Bible, and you get your Bible out, whatever you're reading, and you read down this column, you go up and read down this column, and you go to the next page, and you stop and think, what did I just read? I know my eyes were passing over it. I know my brain was active, but it's easy for our minds just to kind of zip away. Part of what can help us focus, and really this is where it becomes the sacred moment. If I'm just really engaged, thank You, Lord, for that. I'm having a dialogue with God, thanking Him, offering Him praise and thanks. That what I read on this page is something God has promised and said is true, and I say, thank You, God, for it. It closes that loop. It takes what is by default already a sacred moment, reading the Word of God. And if I could say it this way, it makes it maybe even a more real sacred moment for us. So we need to read the Word of God, and we need to just plug into it. So make that part of your discipline. I've got a few more to give you, but let's move on to second verse of our study today. Verse 13. has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, contrast that to the last phrase of 12 where he says, saints in the light. And now he's going to talk about where we were, past tense. We were in the kingdom or the authority, under the authority, the power of darkness. But notice it says he delivered us from the power of darkness. Notice now, typically when it's in the set of a kingdom, he says, under the kingdom of his dear son. So it's one kingdom against another kingdom. And by the way, we were part of the wrong kingdom. God made us, and ever since the Garden of Eden, mankind has been in open rebellion against God. And we see the effects everywhere. And sometimes we're shocked and sometimes we're saddened, but it's everywhere. But what God does, when he sent Jesus to be the Savior, he didn't just come and defeat the other kingdom. He takes those who were part of that other kingdom, and if you will believe in him, and translates them, conveys them to make them part of the new kingdom. That's not how it usually works in warfare. If an enemy is defeated, we're going to have a peace treaty, and you've got to do this and not do this, and you've got to disarm or whatever it is. But he says, no, I'm going to take you and deliver you from that bondage. And notice it says, the power of darkness. We're going from darkness to light. Darkness you don't see clearly. You don't understand. There's no hope. There's danger there. And God says, I'm going to bring you into a place of glorious light, a kingdom of glorious light. The word power is literally the word that speaks of authority, not just ability, but authority. We were locked in the shackles of being on the wrong side. In fact, when you think about him invading an enemy kingdom, we were also enemies of God in our rebellious state. But God in his grace has done this. So what should we do? He's delivered us from that power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. By the way, there's what motivates it. He loved the Son, and through the Son, he's loved us. Most of you will have this experience one way or another, either as a child or as a grandparent or parent. One of the early songs we teach our children usually is Jesus Loves Me. You know, we start with that concept of love. And he does love us to the very end. Now, number two, we said, as you read the Word of God, practice the giving of thanks. Secondly, when you are being taught the Word of God, learn the practice of giving thanks. You understand that that God does use other people to teach us. I have been the recipient of many people that have spoken into me and taught me the Word of God. I hope I can be some small part of that in your life. But as we are receiving teaching on the Word of God, let that be your opportunity to give thanks. Now, I know you're sitting there, we've already messed up your whole sleep-wake cycle today. And let alone, you know, when you feel hungry and when you don't, that's off for an hour today. So it's an extra challenge today, and you're sitting there in comfortable seats and all that. And I know how it is. I've been there. That guy's up there doing his thing, and I'm like, oh. So I don't fault you for that. But here's what can help us stay engaged in the Word of God. As we are learning new things, as we're being taught new things, that's your opportunity to, in your own heart and mind, say, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you that you gave me that information. Thank you that you put me in a place where I could hear that. I wouldn't have maybe heard that on my own. I wouldn't have been directed to that passage on my own. Probably most of us would not be in Colossians chapter 1 if we hadn't gathered here for this time of teaching. So to give thanks. And many of you, and I don't want to discount this. I want to be appreciative of this, and I am. Many of you will say, thank you, Pastor, for that message. Thank you for that, what you taught. I appreciate that. But also make sure in real time you give thanks to God for what he has taught you. Now, as you read, as you study, I know there's those moments when it gets a little tough. I was talking to someone earlier this week on the phone. This lady was telling me, she said, I've been trying to read through the Bible this year. And I said, what a great thing to do. I commend you for that. I said, how far have you gotten along? She said, I'm in 1 Chronicles. I said, you're very good. Good job. And I thought in the back of my mind, I have a pastor friend who was preaching a series on Leviticus, and he titled his sermon series, Where Bible Reading Plans Go to Die. You know, you hit Leviticus, and it's like, whoa. And I said, I didn't say that to her, but I thought, good for you. You pressed on. She had some questions. She said, I'm a little confused, you know, because 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles pretty much covers the same period of time. You know, and she was like, is these different people the same people? No, and I kind of helped her out with that. But it is tough. And as you learn, as someone could guide you a little bit, be thankful for that. So give thanks. What does that do? It takes what's already a sacred moment and then highlights in our mind as a sacred moment. God, you've given me something that I wouldn't have thought of through some source, from your word, through someone else. I thank you for it and give thanks to that. And understand that we indeed understand that we have this reality. Now, notice it says again in verse 13, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It's Jesus' kingdom. He is the ruler. He's the king. Just in case you didn't know, there's an election coming up on Tuesday. Did you know that? And I want to encourage you to vote. I want you to pray over that. We need to always pray for our country. I'm a patriotic American. But you know what? I want to remind you, we're of a higher kingdom. Don't ever forget that. We're the kingdom of the Son. And it's an eternal kingdom. Someday, somehow, I'm not making predictions, okay? I'm not a prophet. But whether it's when Jesus comes or before, somewhere down the road, there will no longer be United States of America. But the kingdom of God is the one kingdom. The kingdom of Christ, the Messiah, is the eternal kingdom. As Daniel said, it's the everlasting kingdom. And we as God's people know that. Now, most people we're living among don't know that. We're kind of undercover agents camped out in enemy territory. But what God wants us to do is to show them something about the power of darkness and how they can be conveyed into the kingdom of His dear Son through sharing the gospel. And if you've never trusted Him as Savior, that's the transaction, verse 13, that you need. To understand that you are in darkness, you're separated because of your sin, but God did something about that by sending Jesus to die on the cross. And through your faith and belief in that, you can come from one side to the other and have this glorious eternal inheritance. If you need that, take advantage of the opportunity that presents itself. You need to talk to somebody, I don't quite understand that. We as pastors, we're glad to have a conversation with you. Maybe a Christian friend or family member you know could have that conversation with you. Or don't quit trying to pursue understanding that so that you will come to the place where you make that kingdom switch. And for us who know that to be true, as we're being taught, as we're learning, give thanks to God for it. It takes the sacred moments and makes them even more sacred. Now, look at verse 14. That's the new relationship. Sorry, new relationship. That was what I just said. Now where we're going, the new status. The new status. Here it is, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, redemption simply means to pay a price and be bought back from a status we were in. There's an Old Testament book that you ought to be a good place to read and give thanks to God for it, the Old Testament book of Hosea. Just to condense the story, Hosea's wife leaves him, is unfaithful to him, and in that downward spiral of her life, she winds up as a slave, being sold in the slave market. Hosea, God directs him to, under his obedience to God, he goes and pays a price to buy her out of slavery, even though she's already legally his wife, but he goes and pays a price to buy her back. And he does not restore her as a slave, but restores her as a wife. The picture is very, very, very clear. We were slaves to sin, and He has bought the price. He's redeemed us, as it says in this text. He's redeemed us through His blood. He's paid that price for us. It's been paid. What do? As we read that in the Scriptures, we give thanks for it. I said this to you. Let me give you one and two, and I'll now give you three. Number one, let's learn the discipline of giving thanks as we read the Word of God. Let's learn the discipline of giving thanks as we are taught the Word of God. And thirdly, let's learn the discipline of giving thanks when we are struck by the Word of God, when something just grabs us. And you think about this. I was a slave to sin. I had no means to get out of that. I couldn't work my way out. I couldn't fix it. It was unfixable. I needed a Savior. He is the Savior. And not just through some coins, not through some money, but through the absolute total gift of Himself in His death through His shed blood, I've been redeemed to Him. If that doesn't strike you, friends, you need to just go over that one more time. We're struck with the significance of our redemption and the cost of that redemption. At that moment, that's the moment when we're hit with those truths and we say, thank you, God. And what takes a moment of information, takes a moment of intellectual processing, Thanksgiving takes it to a moment of worship and sacred connection between us and God. When you're struck with those moments, let that be your opportunity to give thanks to God from that. Then he concludes it, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. He does totally forgive us of our sins. How big a number is that? I certainly can't calculate mine. I suspect you probably can't calculate yours. And it certainly we couldn't calculate ours. But that's what he does, the forgiveness of sins. Now, sometimes we still struggle with sin, and we need to be growing and appropriating the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we mess up, we need to confess it and forsake it. Absolutely. But judicially, from God's point of view, we have our sins forgiven. I love the language of the Bible when it talks about forgiveness of sins. He says, I will drop them in, I'll drop their sins into the depths of the sea. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far I'll remove your sins from you. I will remember them no more. I'll repay you in blessing double for all your sins. What grace. What mercy. What forgiveness. What occasion when we're struck with that kind of truth to say, thank you, Lord. That comes only from the heart of God, who is so perfect and so benevolent and so powerful and so gracious. And there's those moments. This has had some effect on us, and we'll get into this later in our series, but it helps us. We don't give thanks to help us, but it does help us when we give thanks. And we consider this particular truth, it helps us. There's a song Julie introduced to me a while back, and we sang it a couple weeks ago in our early service. It's a song by Josh Baldwin called Made for This, and I think if I shared it before, that's okay. There's a line in it that includes these lyrics. So why should I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? Sometimes we just, you know, we still remember things that God has forgotten. We still kind of feel like we're dealing with stuff that God has forgiven. But why should we crawl into our bed of shame and pull our covers of humiliation around ourselves and just wallow in that? A fountain of grace. As the old hymn writer wrote, there is a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. That's where we live. That's where we stay. That's where we give thanks. Those moments that strike us, those moments that move us, those moments that touch us, that's our occasion to say, Lord, that gift has come from you. And I take this moment and I make it an even more sacred moment by saying, Lord, thank you. I recognize that comes from you. Number one, as you read the Word of God, learn the discipline of giving thanks. As you're being taught the Word of God, practice the discipline of giving thanks. When the Word of God strikes you with some old truth or some new truth, make that your occasion to give thanks to God and make it sacred. If you've never trusted Him as Savior, as I made reference to a little bit ago, we'd love to share with you how you could come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, how you could know your sins are forgiven. And that fountain of grace is flowing your way. If we could help you with that, we'd love to. Follower of Christ, don't let this be a one and done. Let's learn the discipline of just being thankful as we encounter God's truth through His Word. Let's pray to that end right now. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for this beloved apostle who practiced this art of giving thanks. Even as he's writing this letter, he had important things to share. He stops and gives thanks. And Lord, help us to give thanks as we read, as we are taught, as we are struck with your Word. May we not let our time in the Word of God just be something that's an academic exercise of gathering information and putting it into the file folders of our mind. That Lord, may we gather that information and return it with words of praise and thanksgiving to you, and thereby strengthen at least our perception of that divine connection, to pull us away from our shame and our guilt and help us to see ourselves as we truly are, people of a different kingdom, people with a different new inheritance yet to be fulfilled, but surely will. People, Lord, who have a new status, a new reality before you, that we are your children, we are forgiven. We thank you for that collectively, and Lord, may you help us to remain thankful in days yet future. In Christ's name.